every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
That's right. It's the first Saturday of the month. We go around back, all the way around back. The Deep 40, it is Farm Fresh Hour. We've got Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau joining us in studio. Good morning and welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning and thank you for having me on.
And we try and bring a local commodity into the broadcast, or something that is being grown, provided by our Arizona farmers and ranchers, and being brought to market in real time. So when you're out there shopping and buying food and supplies for your family, you can just take that extra minute and look for your local Arizona produce and know that you're supporting local ag, a $23 billion industry to Arizona, and why we cover it first Saturday of the month.
Yes, and it's so fun to do, and I like that we've picked cantaloupe as a commodity because cantaloupe in Arizona is grown. We have two seasons. Most people don't know this. We have an early summer season for cantaloupe, and we have a fall season for cantaloupe. Watermelons, you know, it's pretty much a summer season crop, but with cantaloupe, we can do it twice. We have 14 growers here in the state of Arizona that are growing cantaloupe. Most of those are our larger producers, so that that sweet, wonderful Arizona tasty cantaloupe can get in the grocery stores. But they're all family-owned and operated. One of them, well-known, is the Martori family. They grow all sorts of melons, including the watermelon, but they even have their own label. There's all sorts of, it's actually under the candy label. So if you're in the grocery store in the early summer, you'll see some watermelons or cantaloupe. You'll see the Martori's melons.
And that is one of my favorite. I would take cantaloupe over honeydew or and sometimes even watermelon.
Yeah, and ours are so sweet. If you pick them fresh out of the field, sometimes when we go visit our farmers, it's just wonderful.
Quality control. I got to test this one. Let's yes. Everyone stop. Let's cut this open.
And test it. Yep. But we also grow great honeydew, too. All sorts of good stuff.
And you always bring in a guest with you.
Yes.
Every Saturday, we've got our farmer joining us by phone today.
And his name is Mark Freeman of Freeman Corn Patch. Mark, are you on?
I am, Julie. Thank you. Good morning to both of you.
So Mark is also, you wear many hats besides a cowboy hat. And one of the hats you wear is you're a city council member for the city of Mesa, correct?
Yes, also vice mayor currently.
Vice mayor. And then he's also president of Maricopa County Farm Bureau. But we're going to mainly talk to you with your cowboy hat on or your farm cap. So tell us a little bit about your farm and what you do and how seasonal it is and where it's located, all that fun stuff.
Well, thank you. Just a little background to our family. Our family came to Arizona in 1877 and 1880, both sides of my family. And so consequently, we're involved in ranching and farming for many years and decades, obviously. We settled in Mesa, primarily on the Freeman side, and some of the founders of Mesa. However, I grew up in a farming family. My brothers, all of us farmed, and we did a lot of your normal agricultural crops in Arizona, alfalfa, grains, cotton, watermelon, cantaloupe. And so I have experience growing that, but we don't grow that today because primarily because of the labor issues that we have in harvesting. So, like Julie said, the larger producers are able to have the labor pool to help bring that to market. Otherwise, I grow currently on some acreage in downtown Mesa, ironically, from the Fitch family, Nesbitt family, and downtown core, about a 25-acre parcel, and we grow alfalfa vegetables. For about 30 years, we grew sweet corn there. But currently, I have an outdoor seasonal farmer's market that starts around Memorial Day, and it lasts till the 4th of July, where we bring in all the current fresh farm produce that we grow on our farms, as well as other farmers like the Russo family farms, and other local producers. We bring it in and sell it to an open-air historic barn. That's kind of an overview there, Julie.
Yeah, it's a good overview. So when does the this season, when's the first day that it's going to be open?
Well, that's hard to say because of Mother Nature pushed us way back because of our moisture, our rains, which are desperately needed in Arizona. However, we're probably about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks behind on a normal harvest time. So I'm looking around the end of May.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I always tell everyone you're kind of a seasonal farmer, but that's not totally true because you're doing the alfalfa and that's kind of year-round. But it is true when it comes to your vegetables, your summer veggies, it's you have this very narrow window, but it's a very busy window when you're open on that farm stand area. And by the way, tell everyone that's listening where that's located so that they can come to it once it opens.
We have a Facebook page. It's called Freeman Corn Patch, and it's located at Brown and Center Street in Mesa near Hohokam Park, where the Oakland A's play, as well as the Mesa Cemetery. So right here, it's a farm from the Dobson and Fitch family in Mesa. So it's actually right downtown Mesa.
So even though you might be opening up a couple weeks late just because of, you know, weather and all the other factors, in fact, that's one of the reasons why you're a call-in and not actually in the studio, because you're planting today, if I understand it right. It seemed like you told me, yes, I'll be able to spare an hour, and then I'm back on the tractor or something like that.
Yeah, funny you say that. I've already delivered hay to customers. I have to get some implements to prep the ground and finish for planting. What I'm doing is I'm working with some local faith church-based groups to help them become self-reliant and grow some vegetables on some ground that I have. I have it prepped already for them. So we're going to do some sharecropping,
awesome.
Which is basically the farmer has the ground and the water, and the people come in and provide the planting and the labor and the harvesting. And then we share it at the end of the harvest season. So we have some ground that we've prepped, and I've got to move some equipment around to finish it up today.
Oh, my gosh. You know what that makes me think of is the Liberty Garden. Not that I was there during that time, but the Liberty Gardens during World War II, where communities would come together and grow. I mean, what you're doing is a little bit more on a grander scale, it sounds like, because of your acreage. But that's so cool. Have you been doing that for a while?
I started it about 4 years ago with some church-based groups who wanted to grow and can and bottle vegetables. And so they're able to bring their own vegetables or seeds, and then I have seed available as well, and teach them about planting and growing and weeding and harvesting and obviously irrigating, all the joys with that. It's a lot of work.
And obviously, of course, we've got to mention this and bring this up because we're in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. Do you anticipate any? I know they are giving, and that was just released from the governor's office and the health department today or yesterday about farmers markets, how they can still stay open during this time period if they follow certain guidelines. And by the way, we've got those on our website and also some other websites. But do you anticipate some shifts and changes that have to be made? Are you guys going to have that 6-foot rule when people line up? Because the times that I've gone to your market in that short window of time when it's open and I'm wanting to buy my fresh summer vegetables, especially the sweet corn, you guys are known for the sweet corn at that farm stand, so to speak, you know, it can get pretty busy and pretty crowded. So
we quite haven't decided how we'll navigate that. I think what we'll pay really attention to is the separation requirements as we move forward with the virus. However, I am open air. People drive up to my stand. I can take call-in orders, texting, email. We can prep it. We can have people. Basically a drive-through like others are doing, your restaurants and such. So we have that capability and capacity to basically have a drive-through. People can drive up, I can have our workers prep their orders and hand it right to them. They don't have to get out. So that's one of the advantages I have. Where you have your farmers market at your local cities, they're having to navigate those issues there. Yeah, that's a tough one. I know McClendon Farms has been really struggling how to re-engage getting their produce out. And it's on a timeline. Produce cannot wait any longer than it has to because it'll go bad. So we want to move it fresh right to the consumer. The consumer doesn't have to be afraid about it being contaminated. If they do feel like that, then there's plenty of ways to wash and clean fresh produce. Like you say, your watermelon, your cantaloupe, your honeydew, your hard-shelled or your soft-shelled vegetables, they're safe inside. You may clean the outside, but otherwise our produce is fresh, safe. And
Mark, this probably is a good time to mention that AZ Farm or azfoodbanks.org has launched a page. It's called Friends of the Farm Program. We've actually got information on our website too, but we're telling our local market farmers that if some of their markets have closed, not every farmer's market has closed, but for those that have closed, and that might have been the only market channel that they used, because of the governor's decision just this last week to move more dollars to the food banks, so then the food banks can pivot to purchasing food from our local market farmers. And for those that don't know that, go to azfoodbanks.org and look for the page that's called Friends of the Farm Program. And that's for all of our local farmers.